trucking on. And I'm trucking on. Move her on down the line, another town will do me fine. I'm trucking on. I'm trucking on.
Howdy, friends, and welcome to Truckin' On. I'm your host, Ward Richmond. I really appreciate you tuning in today, and I hope you enjoy the show. Today is a special episode, and it's just me. And I've been doing a lot of journaling lately, and I came up with a series of lists of items with 10 bullet points on each list. And today is the first of those lists that I'm going to discuss with you. So it should be pretty short and sweet. There's only 10 things, not 45 like one of my previous podcasts where I talk about things by myself. So only 10. And I hope you enjoy. I entitled this podcast 10 Reasons Not to Get Married. But that's not really what this is. These are more like 10 thoughts on marriage for my future self, should I ever decide that I want to get married again. I will use these 10 things as a checklist of sorts to remind myself of important things to consider if you're thinking about getting married. Here we go. Number one, tell the truth to your partner. This is oh so important. Don't hide the truth from your partner who you're planning to get married to or that you are already married to. It's easy for me to say because I'm divorced. It's very easy to tell the truth to everyone when you're not married, at least for me. When I was married, I found reasons to tell lots of little not truths, let's say, and I justified it. I told myself that I was protecting my ex-wife, Gina, from getting hurt by not telling her the truth. That was one of the reasons why I told lies. And I know now how ridiculous that sounds, but at the time, I really thought I was doing her a favor. Then I saw an Instagram post. This is probably just because Instagram did not exist when I got married, but I saw an Instagram post after we got divorced, and it said that making a woman doubt her intuition is one of the worst things you can do to a woman because her intuition is her greatest protection mechanism or something like that. And it really hit home with me, especially now that we're divorced and she takes care of our children half the time. And I was thinking to myself, wow, I've made the mother of my children who's watching over them without me there doubt her intuition. So I had to put a stop to that and tell her the truth. And that's what I do now. And I wished I had done it from the very beginning of our relationship, but I didn't because I didn't want to hurt her feelings. Well, that was one reason. The other reason I did not tell the truth is because it protected me from feeling discomfort, which is what happens when you tell difficult truths to people. There's a momentary feeling of discomfort because you're concerned that you might be hurting their feelings or you might get in trouble. And that also is not a wise reason to tell a lie because telling lies causes great discomfort. And while it might not be quite as potent in the beginning, that very first lie you tell, it might feel more comfortable to tell a lie. But over time, I don't think that's the case. I think it gradually builds up. Whether you tell one lie or 100 lies, of course, 100 will be worse than one. But over time, I think it starts to weigh you down and creates suffering and misery. So tell the truth to your partner, number one. Number two, don't get married if you or your partner actively lies or cheats or whatever, lies, same thing. So I know I said tell the truth, but if you're aware your partner is a liar and does this on a regular basis, not a good idea to get married. Same goes for if you know that you are telling lies on a regular basis. Don't tell yourself, once I get married, I'll stop lying. Or once we get married, she'll stop lying. Because that's just an insane idea. People don't change because of an event, because of a piece of paper getting signed. They're not going to change their behavior because they have a kid. Maybe they will, but it's not worth gambling over. And that's what it is when you get married. It's a little bit of a bet of sorts because you're betting that you're going to be with someone for the rest of your life. And that's a pretty serious wager. So the last thing you want to do is marry someone who's lying or do that to someone who you actually care about by marrying them while you're actively telling lies to them. It's not cool. Don't do it. Number three, I would recommend living in the same house for a minimum of 6 to 12 months before you even get engaged. I don't know if the church agrees with me on this. Probably not. Well, I guess it depends on the church. But I think you learn so much about a person when you live with them. And we did that. Well, we actually did not live in the same house before we got engaged. So we did not do that. We did before we got married. And I think it's important because you find out so much about the person by living with them. Lots of things that maybe you wouldn't otherwise know if you had never lived together before. So all kinds of things. And I would recommend that you live with someone to figure those things out. I'm not going to list them all out here. Number four, don't get married if you or your partner gets drunk or gets high on drugs on a regular basis. You know my thoughts on this. I am sober today by the grace of God. I'm not saying you have to be sober like me, but you know the drill. If your partner is getting drunk on a regular basis, it's something that you argue about quite often. Probably not a good idea to place that bet that you're going to be married for the rest of your lives, because you don't even know who you're marrying if you or your partner has to self-medicate to a degree that causes arguments. I think that's a good rule of thumb. If you're getting in fights over drug and alcohol abuse, you just need to get out of that relationship and save yourself the pain and suffering that will be caused by getting married to someone dealing with that shit. And that includes if that someone is you. Be the responsible person and have a goddamn spiritual awakening before you go get married to someone. Do yourselves both that favor. Number five, be on the same page about money. Money is one of the leading causes of divorce, money problems. So, of course, shit can hit the fan and you go broke or you lose your job or something like that. And that's one thing. And navigating that will be tough for anybody, whether you're married or not. However, if you're getting married, be on the same page about money. So outline your expectations of the lifestyle that you want to live. Basically, how much money you want to earn and how much money you want to spend. And earning a lot of money to provide a luxurious lifestyle requires a lot of hard work, and sacrifices need to be made by both partners to make lots of money. I know this because I've made lots of money and I've argued over that before, believe it or not, because making money to me was more important than it was to Gina. I think she would agree with that. And that can cause a lot of animosity if there's someone in the relationship that is somewhat of a workaholic because making money is so important, and the other person wants to go do things like teach a jazzercise class on a Tuesday morning and you get in an argument over what's more important, teaching a jazzercise class or going to a meeting that could lead to a deal that makes $100,000. And I would get in those arguments. And I know now that I wasn't right and I wasn't wrong either. I was right for me. And I thought that my meeting was more important, and Gina was right by thinking her meeting was more important, because they were both true. Both of those things are true. One thing that we didn't do was really talk about that up front and at least lay down some guidelines of, look, if we're going to be in a marriage, these things are important to me. Are they important to you? So be on the same page about money. Number six, be on the same page about having kids. Obviously, be sure that you both want to have kids, because I actually know lots of people. We were not like this. We both wanted to have kids. So I think there was a time when I was deep in my alcoholism and maybe doubted my ability to be a parent, but Gina actually gave me the kick in the ass that I needed. And said, okay, it's time for us to have kids. That was the deal. But we did discuss that before we got married. So make sure you're on the same page. Don't make the bet of getting married to someone who does not want to have kids if you want to have kids, thinking, again, like I discussed earlier, that they're going to suddenly change their mind once you get married, because chances are they won't, because people don't just change their mind because you get married. So get that thought out of your head. I think a lot of people think that way. And, you know, on the subject of kids, at least have a high level of an understanding of how you want to raise your kids as well. That is something that caused stress in my marriage, and just like little things like bedtime and how strict you want to be about raising the children and things like that. It wasn't the end of the world with us, but I think we could have benefited from laying out some guidelines in advance before having children about how we want to raise our children and really what our duties might be related to raising our children and things like that. So, good idea. Number seven, just know that people are going to change. So, everybody changes constantly. So, be ready for that. Be aware and be ready to navigate that change that you're experiencing in life, because you will be changing constantly. Your partner will be changing constantly. So the best thing to do is to communicate effectively throughout your marriage so that this change doesn't become so drastic over time because you're not communicating about it, where you get too far apart to be able to come back together again. Number eight, this helps with all of these things, and that is, I suggest to proactively do couples counseling prior to getting engaged. So if you think this is someone that I may want to marry, hire a couples counselor, and then that is going to create a forum for you to sit down and set time aside to speak about all of these things with a paid professional there to help you navigate these conversations in an effective manner. I think we did premarital counseling with our preacher at my childhood church. Maybe we did like three sessions with him or something. And I don't think three sessions was enough. I think you need to go to counseling on like a weekly or biweekly basis. I think that's very important. I wish that we had done it. I think a lot of people view couples counseling as something, at least I used to, let's just say that, as something that you do if you have a shitty marriage. And that's basically when we started going to couples counseling, when shit had hit the fan and we were both pretty in a bad place and we were fighting all the time, etc. I wish that knowing what I know now about the benefits of talk therapy and couples counseling, I wish that we had proactively gone into that process. So do it. Then you can cover all these things I just talked about as long as you tell the truth. But if you don't, then it doesn't matter. That would be another side note on number 8. Proactively do couples counseling and tell the truth while you're in couples counseling. Don't lie during it. Say what's on your mind. It will help you out. Number 9, believe in God and make sure your partner believes in God. I think that's very important because all the change that's inevitably going to happen over the course of a lifelong relationship with someone, it's nice to be on the same page about something that's not going to change, hopefully, and that's a belief in God. And also, I found that God gives me so much strength in life and undoubtedly can provide you with that strength in a marriage. Because marriage is hard work. I don't know anybody who's married that would argue with that. There's two kinds of marriages. There's people that work hard at marriage, and then there's people that don't work hard at marriage. And most of the people that work hard at it, I think those are the ones who stay married. Is there a happy marriage? No, there's no marriage that's happy all the time. I haven't met anybody who's ever told me that. I think a happy marriage is one where both parties in the marriage work hard at being married, because that's what it requires, is hard work. A shitty marriage, one or both people are lazy and they're not doing the work, because that's what marriage requires. That's what I think, but I don't really know because I got divorced. And that brings me to number 10. Breaking off an engagement is much easier than getting a divorce, because getting a divorce sucks, in case you didn't know. And I think if you follow this list of 10 things before you get married, it will lower your chances of getting a divorce and you'll be ready to go and have a good old hard marriage. Like people who you might think have a happy marriage. It's a hard working marriage. You got to do hard things to stay married. Much respect to all my hard working married friends who are living their best life. And I wish you the best. And if I ever decide to get married again, I'm going to go back to this podcast and remind myself of this list of 10 things. I hope it helped you today. And that's all I got. So thanks for tuning in and trucking on. Have a good one. Peace. Thanks so much for checking out this episode of Truckin' On. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can do so by leaving us a 5-star review and by sharing this episode with your friends. Don't forget to head over to truckinon.com for book recommendations, official Truckin' On merchandise, and you can sign up for my monthly newsletter. Thanks so much for tuning in and truckin' on. All right. I'm gonna tell the truth to you till I break on through to the other side. Living like I'm gonna die is the only time I feel alive. Living like I'm gonna die is the only time I feel alive. And I'm trucking on. I'm trucking on.